Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Cross Lake Bible Church. So good to see you here this morning. And we're going to jump right into it. I've got so much good stuff to share with you today. And it's going to be extra special. We got a lot packed into the service. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this day that you have made. Lord, we do rejoice. We are glad in it. Lord, I thank you so much for allowing us to gather here together on Old Liberty Road this morning and rejoice in the freedom, the liberty that you have bestowed upon us. I thank you for every mother who's here today, every father, every child, young and old, Lord. We just want to thank you for allowing us the liberty to gather here and worship openly. As we open up your word, as we lift up our voices, as we recognize that, yes, you are still on the throne. We thank you, Lord, that the cross, for the cross, the old rugged cross, and for the empty tomb, and that you have ascended on high and you're alive and well. And therefore, we come before you today and you alone as we worship the only one who's worthy. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for moms. We thank you for the children. And so this service, Lord, we want to dedicate to you. And again, with all that's happening, we ask for your help. Help us remove those distractions, those distortions, those things that we think we know that do not align with your word. Help us to focus on you today as the truth will be preached and sung. And may you receive all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Remain standing as we sing, "This is Amazing Grace."
Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all beings, who shakes the whole earth
Time it's we're going to take up the offering and Phil, are you going to ask a blessing on the offering for us?
Guys, you can go ahead and grab the plates. One last thing, if you're a visitor here, we're going to do something a little bit different today. We would like to give you extend the invitation. Pastor is going to meet you in the fellowship hall immediately following the service, and we have a gift bag for you. So if this is your first time, or even second, third time, we'll still call you a visitor. We'd like the opportunity to just get to say hi. Sometimes we get a little busy and things get a little crazy here on the way out the door. So out in the fellowship hall after service, meet us back there, and we'd love to just say hi, give you a gift, and welcome you. So we'll remind you at the end of the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I ask your blessing over this service today, Lord. I want to thank you for all of the mothers that we're celebrating today. We can't say enough how much we appreciate all of their sacrifice. We are who we are because of our mothers and how they have invested and poured into us. And they're just a precious gift that we can't say thank you for enough, Lord. And today we recognize them, but really we should be recognizing them every day and thanking you for them. They are such a big blessing in our lives. Lord, I pray as we gather our offering this morning, Lord, that this be a time that we remember how much you provide for us, and that we are giving out of willing and grateful hearts, Lord. We give because you gave to us first. We ask that you bless all of the offering and use it for your will and for your purposes, Lord. We pray over the remainder of the service. We pray over Pastor's message today. May it bless all the families that are gathered here today, Lord. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
But this time, every year, what we do here for Mother's Day, we honor we honor those to whom honor is what? Is due. That's what the Bible says. Honor those to whom honor is due. So at this time, I want you, this is your chance. Phil, I need you to come up here and grab that microphone right there. And I want you to raise your hand if you can finish this sentence. I am thankful for my mom because... Okay.
I am thankful actually for my mother-in-law because she is a blessing in our life. She does everything for us selflessly, and I know that she loves us unconditionally like we love her unconditionally. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. What a great testimony.
Y'all know my hand shot up before he finished that sentence. I am thankful for my mom because she's such an example of a godly woman. In addition to being my mom, she's my friend, my cheerleader, like somebody to smack me in the head and say, get some sense when I need it. She's just been amazing, and I could go on and on, but I'm sure y'all want to talk about your mamas too.
Oh, thank you, Candace.
I'm thankful for my mother, for being very kind and thoughtful, for being a tender, loving friend with an understanding smile. There are so many things that she does for me that I take for granted for sometimes, but it doesn't diminish the fact that that she is an incredible and wonderful woman. I don't have any should'ves, could'ves, or would'ves concerning her. I wouldn't change anything about her. And I'm so thankful and grateful that God has given me such a mother as her. Many people who can say to their mother, I love you, every single day. And in return, they say, I love you, every day. And so, it makes life a little bit easier to live.
Amen.
And up and say this one. First, I want to thank all the mothers here, the ones who ain't here as well. God bless you all. My mom brought me into this world, but truly my aunt, who you guys know really well, just with me through the hardest times of my life. Helped guide me to Jesus, the best gift and I could ever ask for in my life. Still is a shining light. Even as my aunt, she just expresses that motherly love every single day. She's there for me when I need the hard truth, and just someone I can lean on for everything. So for her, for all the mothers here, thank you so, so much. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Josh.
Specifics would take me way, way, way too long, but I truly have no idea where I would be without my mom. And some of you who have heard our testimony know how important she has been throughout my marriage to my wife. And if given the rest of the days of my life, I just don't know that I could equal what she's done for me, but I'll do my best to try. So I thank God for my mom.
Amen.
The wife. My mom died when I was 18, so I haven't had a mom in a long time, but Fritz is a wonderful example of selfless love and giving, and I really, really appreciate that, and I love her, and she's a great replacement.
Amen.
I am thankful for my mom because she's helped me raise my daughter as a single mother.
Amen.
I can't do it. I'm thankful for my mom and all the moms that's gone to heaven. God bless every one of them today.
Amen. Thank you, Gail.
I'm thankful for my mom and that she's here with me. And I'm thankful that my mom was a mom of prayer, because I don't know if I'd be here if she wasn't praying for me all the time.
Amen. Thank you, Dawn.
So I am thankful for, first of all, my sister. It is her first Mother's Day today, and I am so glad that she's becoming this wonderful mom to Bentley. And it is so sweet watching you become a mom after you helping me take care of my brood. And also to my mom, I am so thankful for you every day. I can't count how many times, well, I mean, I can because there's seven, but how many times you've flown or driven 8 hours or 20-something hours just to come and help me be there to bring these wonderful children into my life. I am so grateful for you and everything that you've done, and I can't say it enough. Thank you so much, Mom.
If you could say something to Mom in one word.
I'm thankful for my mother because she's very nice to me, and
I'm thankful for my mom because she always cares for me. I'm thankful for my mom because she's always there when I get hurt.
I'm thankful for my mom because she's a great teacher.
I'm thankful for my mom because she always helps us do stuff.
I can't.
I thank you for my mom because she loves me.
Oh. All right.
And I'll add one thing. My mother's no longer with us, but I'm thankful to my mother because I am who I am, and I know Jesus because of her, and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her.
Amen. Amen. Yep. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I know if your mom's still here, give her a call today. Give her a call. Right, Gail?
Right.
Yeah. My mom went home in 1983.
My mom went home in 91. My dad went home in
74. And she's waiting on me. Yep. And she told me before she died, when I was younger, my mom, I don't know, why did the old timers tell us things that were not true? For instance, have you ever been told that you were hatched? Isn't that true? She did admit I was not hatched. Okay. So, Kevin, where's Kevin? Kevin's going to come up and he's going to sing a special song today. What's the name of it, Kevin?
I Will Rise.
I Will Rise.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, and I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear and my face shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome and the grave is overwhelmed. Oh, victory is one. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow and no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. Yes, I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every long heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart singing, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow and no more pain. Yes, I will rise on eagle's wing before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. Yes, I will rise.
Thank you, Kevin, so much. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I want to share something. I have a short message today because I'm tying this into a child dedication, a children dedication, and a baptismal service. So, but I want to point out some things today that the Lord has put on my heart for a while now, and I've been looking forward to this Mother's Day. And even talking to moms, I will tell you this. What's the greatest thing that you can give a mom? Greatest thing you can give a mom? Think about this. And I shared this before. There's no greater joy than to hear that what? My children walk in truth. No greater joy than for a mom and dad to hear, not just to witness with their eyes, but hear from other people, that their children are walking in truth. And I will tell you this, there's nothing greater I was at a wedding yesterday, so can you imagine a bridegroom, receiving a bride, and but the bride, what does she want? She wants a faithful husband, a loving husband. Someone she can love and respect in return. Isn't that true? Then have children to love and respect. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But here's really what I want to focus on. I want to focus on one aspect, and here's why. It's been a while ago. Some of the children in the church here, I was talking to three different children. I asked them this question. Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I got the same answer from three different children. And you know what it was? I want to be an influencer. An influencer. Now, the older people are going, what? All the young people know exactly what I'm talking about. Right? What is an influencer? Now, this is the thing. I want you to understand. And actually, what I had to do, being 58 years old, just so you know, I started researching what an influencer is and what they do. And I have an idea. And so I actually I subscribe to an organization that keeps pastors updated on the culture and in relation to the youth. As a matter of fact, there's an organization. It's actually called Axis, and Axis helps. Here's their motto. It's connecting parents, teens, and Jesus in a disconnected world. That's their motto. Connecting parents, teens, and Jesus in a disconnected world. And so I actually went on. I was reading an article that they were writing, and they actually put together these booklets as very helpful. I mean, very helpful. Matter of fact, I'll loan these to you if you're interested. But, like, went on YouTube. Hey, parents, here's how you can understand, because influencers are all over the Internet, and many are on what? YouTube. They have their own channel. This week, when I called up Comcast and we had them come out and update the system, they said, hey, you have an old bundle. We don't even bundle anymore. They took off TV because families today, they don't bundle. Just give me the Internet, right? And we can get what we want through the Internet. And so YouTubers, there are influencers on YouTube. And then there's one called TikTok, right? TikTok, this is how to understand how folks are using TikTok to market their products to reach individuals, right? And then there's one on Instagram, right? And here's what I like about these. This tells you what to be aware of, but also in a positive way, how to set the guards, parental controls, and know there's a lot of people that use this. If you're blind to these and you just say, hey, you need to be aware of this because this is where the culture is. There are people on TikTok sharing the gospel. Did you know that? And do you know this? Well, the Chinese are behind it. Yes, they are. But you know what? If you're like me, like when you use Alexa, if you're crazy like I am and I know the Chinese are listening, I actually read the scripture to my Alexa. Okay? I will talk to my Alexa. I will share the gospel to Alexa. Right? If someone's listening and they're in a room, right? Why not? Matter of fact, Bobby and I, he was at my house. I was discipling. And we had some scripture passages. I had Alexa read it to us. Right, Bobby? Yeah, he says, Shirley won't let me have one of those. Well, here's one. Here's one called Teen FOMO. Older people, you're probably, what does that mean, FOMO? I guarantee you the young people in this room know what that means. What's FOMO? You know it, and this is a big deal. When I read this, it was like, this is what I used to call peer pressure. And at the end of this, it even shares the joy of missing out. Teach your children how to actually have joy in missing out on certain things. I love that. So, but then, finally, I'm saving the last one, because this is really what started all, was the influencers. Do you understand that the influencers see those companies like Pepsi Cola, Coca Cola, and other companies, they realize that the celebrities and the big name stars, the sporting stars, that's not where it is with young people. Because they look for the influencers that's already out there that already have a couple hundred thousand, what do you call them? Followers. So I will pay you a certain amount of money to take your followers and lead them where? Lead them to us. And I'll give you a big money and do it. And so you'll hear them in a conversation, right? And they'll just throw, hey, today I'm drinking this. Man, this is a good... How come all the young people are drinking energy drinks these days? Josh, isn't that true? Everybody's drinking these energy. Where did that come from? And all the they have their favorite energy drink. That's just one thing. But I'm going to ask a good friend of mine, Jack Sipe, to come up here. Jack Sipe, we normally meet. Come on up, Jack. Jack, we meet on Friday mornings, and we've been discussing some things. Jack's, and one reason I love meeting with Jack, Jack is 18, correct?
19.
I'm sorry, 19. And Jack, he is actually educates me to things in his world that is so distant from when I was 19. That's what he ministers to me in that way. And then he says, Pastor, can I ask? And then I share the Word of God, the things he's dealing with. And we normally meet at Bob Evans on Friday mornings. And we have our own booth there. We walk in, right? Isn't that true?
Yes,
and
sir.
And so, but here's something he shared with me when I told him I was preparing for this message. I said, Jack, would you share some things that have influenced your life? Right? And I want you, he's going to share with you some things, some people that have influenced him. But then, this is what he shared with me a few weeks ago. But Pastor, I had to make the decision for myself which influence I was going to choose to follow. And I asked him the tough question, Jack, can you share with me what you decided to follow? And so I'm going to ask you to share that with us today. As far as the influences that a 19-year-old faces and why you decided to follow the influences. Now, which direction did you decide to go in? Go ahead and share that with all of us, what you shared with me.
Will do. Hello, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. For those of you who do not know, my name is Jack Sipe, and I am the son of Chris and Robin Sipe. Today, I am up here to share a bit about my life and try to bring some hope and comfort to kids and adults alike about modern-day influencers. And no, I don't mean YouTubers, social media personalities, or athletes, although they certainly can have an influence on a young mind. I'm talking about the influence of mothers, fathers, peers, and that can draw a child towards God or push them away. Mm-hmm. Everything with which we interact has an influence on us for good or for bad. While there are no doubt bad influencers all around, which is very disheartening, I want to share about the positive influences that God has placed in my life, which He used to draw me to Him and help me get through the most difficult periods of my life. I was not born into a Christ-centered home or family. Although I was young, our family seemed pretty normal, with occasional arguments and stress between my parents. However, Christ was no part of our daily life, and I never heard His name mentioned in our home. Over time, with arguments and stress increasing, my parents separated when I was 4. My brother and I didn't know why at the time, but they tried to convince us that everything was going to be okay. I was young enough to not be too affected by it, and my brother, who understood more, helped me to distract from it. However, during that time of separation, my father had a life-changing encounter with the Lord, and everything started to change. Soon after seeing the obvious change in my father, my mother received Christ as her Lord and Savior as well, and we are all reconciled under one roof again. It was wonderful, and we started to live as a Christ-centered family, and I started to learn about God, His great love for me through Jesus, and why I should love Him. My father and mother became the first influencers in my life to point me towards God. A couple of years later, my brother, who has always been so wonderful and so supportive of me, started to change. My parents grew more concerned as they started to see certain behaviors until he shared that he had suffered a terrible trauma and hid it from them for years. This led to one of the most significant changes in our family as my parents decided to start homeschooling us. Due to the trauma, my brother changed from a loving and caring brother to a cold and manipulative person. I don't blame him. He was too blind to see that he was hurting me. He simply thought he was helping me toughen up because he knew all too well how dangerous the world could be to the weak and vulnerable. At this point in time, we had settled down at a local church, attended the Awana program and a homeschool co-op being held there, and another co-op called Together Growing in Faith, or TGIF, all of which were so important and influential in my life. There were so many people in those places that deeply cared for me, made me feel welcome and loved, and I am truly blessed by God to have these wonderful people in my life. I could rely on many of them to encourage me with scripture
or point me toward God when I was despairing about my life or feeling anger towards my brother. Many of those people are still a part of my life and still influence me greatly in my faith. Because of my brother's trauma, he could not sleep at night. He turned to drugs and alcohol and many other worldly things to bring him peace, and my parents did everything they could to stop him from this sinful path. It was all-encompassing at times and often left me feeling alone and less of a priority. I felt so alone and like no one loved me or cared about my pain. My brother changed so much that I was truly terrified of him and did anything he asked me to do out of fear and loyalty. I became so filled with anxiety and guilt and self-loathing. It wasn't my parents or my brother's fault. They were simply doing all they could to deal with the issues, but it led to serious depression, very dark thoughts, and feeling like I had nowhere to turn. Eventually, my parents finally found Ryan the help he needed. God's divine providence again, and they were able to finally commit their full attention to me and my needs. This is when they started to truly understand the full impact those difficult years had on me. It took a long time and the support of many people to help me start to win the battlefield of my mind. It was really, really hard, and if I'm being honest, there were times when I just wanted to give up altogether. I know now that not everything I believed was true, but lies are often too hard to believe, or too easy to believe, and too hard to unbelieve and forget. Hard as it all was, thanks to God and the incredible influencers he put in my life, I was making progress, and 3 years ago, one of them provided me with a life-changing experience. Miss Casey Golden, the choir director at the co-op I attended, decided to arrange a musical based on Pilgrim's Progress. I enjoyed acting, but the thought of singing on stage was horrifying. With encouragement from my mom, I agreed to do it and was given the roles of the interpreter and hopeful. I was surrounded by wonderful, talented, and supportive friends. Like most teens, we all had our struggle, but the entire process of this production was ministering to each of us in special ways and giving us the opportunity to minister to each other. The more I practiced and understood Hopeful's role, the more I truly wanted to be like Hopeful. He was always in a great mood, optimistic, supportive, full of cheer, and everything that my parents said I used to be before what they called the great sadness entered our lives. Additionally, both my characters' lines were chock full of scripture, which I had to memorize and recite over and over. Committing the word of God to memory is such a great weapon in the battlefield of our minds. However, one scene, called the Dungeon of Despair, and specifically the scripture I had to quote in the scene, had a huge impact on my life. Christian was devastated about the loss of a dear friend and simply wanted to die. And I opened the Bible to Jeremiah 29:11 and read to him, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." I know it was supposed to be an encouragement to Christian in this scene, but having to say it over and over again was an encouragement to me. It made God, his word, and his promises and provisions so much more real to me. I realized at that moment during the process that God actually uses the hardest moments and circumstances in our lives to most obviously display his goodness, faithfulness, and blessings. Something changed in me forever as a result of that realization. Through Hopeful's encouragement, Christian came to understand and believe that God was always with him, and so did I. The musical helped me to grow in my faith so much. Without the people in the musical, my other drama crew from TGIF, the people from my church and local Awana group, as well as my mother and father, who have no doubt had the greatest influence on my faith, I'm not sure where I would be today without their love and support. Additionally, one of the biggest influences in my life nowadays is my girlfriend, Nevaeh, whom I met through one of my co-ops. She is a wonderful, intelligent, and Christ-devoted person who constantly strives to grow in her faith and pushes me to grow with her. Whenever I am down, I can count on her to pick me up with some good, godly advice. I love her very much and thank God every day for blessing me with her. There are a lot of influences in this world, for better or for worse. But today, we celebrate one of the best, mothers. My father, who I know loves me very much, often says there is something truly supernatural about the love of a mother. Something that only comes through carrying a life inside of you from the moment it is created and literally providing for its need for 9 months, something that only comes through the incredible physical changes and challenges during those 9 months, something that only comes through one of the most physically challenging events a woman can experience when they finally bring that life into the world. Isn't this entire process the first example of the love Christ commands in laying down our lives for another? Those 10 months are just the start of a life laid down for the sake of another. Mothers don't just empathize when their children struggle or are in pain. They actually feel it, and they are willing to do whatever they can to alleviate their suffering. Such love would compel mothers to place themselves between their children and harm without thinking. Mothers, you would not give your own life if it meant your child could live. Surely, you would give one kidney to your child and probably argue with doctors as to why you couldn't give both if needed. That is just the beginning of a mother's love, truly the very love of God in our lives. In the midst of it all, especially as a child, it is hard to appreciate such love and sacrifice, and I know I have often failed to appreciate and acknowledge it. But today of all days, sons and daughters, let's be thankful to God for such love, and thankful to our moms for their faithfulness to Him and eternal influence in each of our lives. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Awesome, Jack. I want Jack to pray about going to ministry. Right? Pray about it, right? Yeah. Wow. Now I know that you've been influenced by so many people, and I've even asked some of those questions this week to some of you. I was in the hospital or the facility on Friday with Bill and Jean Neal, and they both just shared with me in their 80s, they were sharing all the influences in their lives. And Bill, besides his parents and his grandparents, he just went back, and his mind was going back to all the teachers in school. You know, even coaches and teachers. But let me ask you this. What are three key principles that every godly influencer should know? Three key principles. I'm going to go through this quickly this morning. It's going to be in 2 Timothy. And I'm going to ask Damon. Damon's going to come up. And Damon, he's going to read to us a passage of scriptures found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 3 to 7. I asked him this week if he could read this, and he said that he could. Damon, if you speak, I think this is on. Let's see. Yeah, it's on. So, 2 Timothy,
I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincerity, faith, and a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So the reason I am reminded you to fan into fame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gives us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Very good. Thank you, Damon. You can be seated. We have some more readings in a little bit, but I want you to consider what Damon just read from Timothy here. And who was Timothy? And who was the one that influenced Timothy? Now, Damon just read some of it, but if you go back to Acts 14 and 16, you will find that Paul was in a place planting churches called Lystra and Derbe. And there when he's in Lystra, he is actually persecuted to the point where he is stoned and left for dead. He's left for dead. But it says there in Acts 14, a group of disciples stood around him, prayed for him, and then Paul gets up. He goes to the next city and continues ministering. Then he goes to Jerusalem. And in Acts 16, he decides to go back to the place where he was left for dead. And there in Acts 16, it says that he meets this young disciple named who? Timothy. And the people had a good word to say about Timothy. So Timothy has witnessed what happens when you stand for truth. Even to the point of being taken out and stoned and left for dead. He's witnessed this. And then when Paul says, hey, you want to join me? He said, yes. And then we get to 2 Timothy. And here's what's precious about this book of the Bible. Of all the people that the Apostle Paul mentored, discipled, influenced, Timothy's at the top of the list. He poured his life into Pastor Timothy. And now the very last letter that Paul wrote in Scripture that we have recorded is written to Timothy. And Paul's about to die for his faith. He's going beyond being stoned. He's about to have his head taken off, actually. And so he writes this to Timothy. Now, I want you to notice, just quickly, I want you to notice the appreciation for Timothy. You see, every godly influencer appreciates the opportunity that they have to influence others on behalf of God. Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing. Matter of fact, I'm so appreciative that I'm always what? What does it say? I'm praying for you every single day, Timothy. Now, you remember, Paul's in prison writing this. I appreciate you, Timothy. Talking about an influencer. Now, I wish I could see you. And I often think of your tears that they would shed together because they loved each other. And it filled him with joy just knowing what was taking place in the life of Timothy. And then and not only appreciation, but the authenticity, because I love how he says, when I call to remembrance the what? The real faith, the genuine faith, not the fake, the phony. Now notice where this is how to tell the difference between a hypocrite and someone who's genuine. Because many of you could share with your mouth what you say you believe, and you can get dressed up to a point to make it look like, you know, to present yourself a certain way. But Paul says this, when I call to remembrance a genuine faith, that's where? Where is it? It's internal. It's in you. And it's real. You see, it's the hypocrite that puts on the mask. It's the genuine, authentic believer that has it on Christ on the inside. And then he says, and by the way, I'm going to acknowledge something here. Paul didn't take all the credit here. He says, which dwelt first in your grandma and your mom, Lois and Eunice. And by the way, so you see, Timothy's dad was Greek. His mom was Jewish. We only have one mention of his dad in Scripture. It's just that he was Greek. We don't know if he had died when Timothy was young. But I do know this about the culture he lived in. I do know that if you had a Jewish grandmother and you had a Jewish mother and you had a Greek father, chances are Timothy's mother probably was criticized a lot for marrying this Greek boy. So grandmom and mom poured their lives, poured Scripture into young Timothy. And we don't hear of dad. We don't know if he left. We don't know if he died. We don't know if he's what he believed. That's all we know. But he acknowledged this. And then I want you to also notice that not only does an influencer know God's place in the life of the person they influence, but also they know God's perfect plan. Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And there's the reminding. And that's what an influencer does. We are constantly reminding people of God's hand, of God's work. And not only do we remind them, but we recognize what? It's the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He's referring back to his ordination. And ordination is just a recognition of God at work in a life. And that's what how Paul told Timothy, I'm reminded, I recognize it's God in you. Oh, God forbid that we'd be an ungodly influence and make it about us. I don't care what your background is, what you're going through, but if you only focus on you and how far you can take someone on your own, they're only going to go as far as you, or maybe not as far. You want to see your kids succeed, then you point them to God, because God's the one that's going to take them a lot further than you could ever go or you ever went. Your influence is limited, but God's is not. And he recognized that. Number three is this. A godly influencer knows God's sufficient provision. For God has not given us a spirit of what? Now, think about this, folks. Pay close attention. It starts off with a negative. Let me tell you what God did not give you, Timothy. He did not give you a spirit of fear. We live in a world, folks, where these children right here, these teens, and even you know, we are living in a world where we are saturated with messages that purposely are designed to separate us and be what? And to be fearful. Even fearful of one another. To be fearful of what someone else believes. Fear paralyzes us. You understand that? And so Paul says, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Timothy, so why go through this world full of fear? That's a red flag if you find yourself with that spirit of fear. And you, one of those things connected to fear, depression. You're depressed. In fact, you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. Because you fear you're going to be let down again today because you were let down yesterday. And so as you look at this world, you need to take your eyes off all this, Timothy, and focus on this. Number one, he did not give you the spirit of fear, but he did give you a spirit of power. A spirit of, I love that. I was thinking this morning, you know, I love machines. I love cars. I love motorcycles. I love anything with power. But you think of the physical world. Imagine pulling up to a traffic light and I'm in a Corvette with the most, you know, powerful engine you can imagine, right? You know, I love NASCAR, as you know. I love power. Imagine you sitting at a light. The light is red and another car pulls up to you and the guy looks over, puts his window down, revs up his engine and looks at you and like shakes his head at you and says, come on, I'm going to take you. And all of a sudden the fear comes over you that what? Man, I can't do this. That guy's going to take me. I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to. And all of a sudden people are all around. You're watching all this. The light turns green and you're so paralyzed in fear, you just sit there and you're sitting in a brand new Corvette, souped up. And the guy takes off and the guy behind you like, I can't believe that Yugo just took off that Corvette. Some of you don't know what a Yugo is. The old timers do, right? That would never happen, would it? I did take off at a light one time, come home from work one night. I'll never forget it. Set that light. I was in my brand new Chevy pickup truck. Ford pulls up next to me. He looks over at me. I look at him. I take my, here's a trick. You put your foot on the brake a little bit, hold the brake down, get your other foot on the gas, give it a little RPM. So when the light turns green, you let off and you take off. This is how God, what he does to me. When I took off that day, as soon as I took off in that Chevy pickup truck, my tailgate comes down. All my tools go out in the middle of the intersection. I drove all the way from Boonesboro to right here in New Market with my tailgate locked. And the angel went, watch this. I did have the power. I had him until I looked in my mirror. But we have the power given to us that we need. And we have the passion that we need. He goes, and of love, Timothy, you've got what it takes. I know being a pastor, if you don't have a heart of love, you're not going to make it. If you go in your office and you're frustrated 24/7, you're not going to make it. So God, I've given you, you've got the power you need. You've got the passion that you need, and don't lose it. Because that's what the world would love to rob from you. And also, you also have what? The principles you need to have that sound mind, to have that confidence, to have that self-control. You have everything that you need, Timothy. Now that's a godly influence, isn't it? And that's what we need more than ever. I'm telling you. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and at this time, who did I assign this passage? Someone has 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse, it's Shane. Shane? Uh-oh. Does he want to read it? If he does not want to read it, I'll read it. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, and the next passage is Nate. Nate, can you come on up here? You're going to read the next part of this passage. But it says here in 2 Timothy 3, because this is something else that Paul told Timothy later in the letter. He says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing, and look what's important, it's very important, influencers, from what?
From whom?
Is that important? Yes, it is. From whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, Nate, this leads up to the last two verses I want you to read. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So now Paul says all this, and then he points out something about the Scripture. What does he say, Nate?
All Scripture is God-breathing and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting in training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work.
Every good work. Very good. I like that. I like God work. That's good work, right? Thank you so much, Nate. But if you look at this, I want you to notice something very closely about all Scripture. That means all of it, right? So we don't set aside some verses that we don't like. We take it all. It's given by God. And guess what it's good for? You know what doctrine is?
No.
Doctrine is when we learn about God. What we learn, it's doctrine. And when you learn about God, we learn about ourselves and we realize that we are not God and we're messed up, aren't we? So it reproves us. So it points out what's wrong with us. And since we know now what's wrong, what does the Scripture do? It tells us what? What's the next word? For?
Correction.
Correction. It tells us how to correct it. And now that we're corrected, it goes further so we can also go down the road further and not make mistakes. It gives us what? For? What's that big, the I word? For instruction. And I'm going to tell you right now, Nate, I'm going to tell you being a man, being a young man. You know what men, they struggle following?
Instructions.
There you go. Instructions. You already know, right? Isn't that true? Men only looking at instructions, and it tells you. That's why we have the Bible. Instructions in righteousness. But I will tell you something good about the Lego system. You ever put Legos together?
Yep.
If you don't have follow instructions with all those little pieces, that's one good thing about the Legos. It teaches kids instructions.
Well, your mom can start stepping on them.
Exactly. Equipped for every good work. Now, I want all the kids in this, all the children, young and old. I want you to go get Kathy and bring Kathy out of the nursery. I want you all to come up front with me, all of you, all of you. And I want moms and dads to come with the children. Moms and dads, all the children. All the children. All the children. I want the little children to stand up here in the front where everybody can see you. Don't stand behind the pulpit. Only Pastor Mercer can hide behind the pulpit. Okay. Okay, come over here. I'm coming over here on this side too. Parents, children. Kathy's coming with little Sparrow. Look at little Sparrow. Look at these children. Isn't this beautiful? I love this. Look, they're still coming. meditate, baby.
What am I going to sing today?
No, hold on. Hold on. We're going to... All right. All the children and the parents are coming forward. Here's what I want you to know. The Kathy and I, what I just shared with you, we take serious. And we have decided, this a while back, but we're just about, you're going to start hearing more of what I'm going to tell you right now. And we're waiting to announce it to today. Because of the culture that we're living in, Catherine, like, how can we as a pastor and a pastor's wife influence more the children at Cross Life Bible Church? And here's what we decided to do. We're going to start a ministry called Sons of Honor and Daughters of Grace. And the Sons of Honor is where Pastor Merson takes the boys. And I already have talked to other folks in the church where it's all about how to do things the right way. And I'm going to tie biblical principles into this. But it's going to be Sons of Honor. I'm taking the boys. And we're going to teach them how to change a tire the right way. Things like this. Without getting hit right. How to, and I talked to Mike over here. He's going to show us how to change motor oil in a car. Right, Mike? The right way. Mr. Earl said, I want to teach them how to use the old hand tools the right way. Right? And we're going to tie this, but it's a time for me, and where's Max? Is Max up here? And like someone like Max, who has, how many kids do you have, Max?
Six
kids, getting together with Max and his boys, and we're going to do some things. It's always how to, and we're going to do it the right way. And then Kathy's going to take the Daughters of Grace, and she's going to teach them how to be godly ladies, right? And do, like, take them to a tea room. Show them how to sit there. How to order tea. That's one thing. Now, we'll tell you this. I already got word that Marley wants to know how to change a tire, too. So, right, Marley? So, anyway, so we're going to have... So I am, I've already talked to some of you, and I'll be talking to you. Like, Rick Ricker this morning, he told me. I said, Rick, what can you teach some young folks? He said, how to even take an instrument and know the right ways to start with tuning the instrument. All the proper steps, right? Isn't that cool? So pray about this ministry, because the Bible does say to come out from among them, right? Like the FOMO, it's okay to have joy and not be in part of the big group, but be joyful in what the Lord is doing with His sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And look at the end of that. Perfecting holiness in what? Perfecting holiness. That's what it's about. And I'm excited about this. So at this time, I actually asked someone I gave an assignment of reading Psalm 127. Who did I give that to? Where's Hayden? Okay, Hayden, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you stand over here, stand right here in the front, and I'm going to hold the mic. I want you to listen to this passage from Hayden. Psalm 127.
Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it
in vain.
Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of
anxious
toil. For he gives to his beloved sheep. Behold, children are a
heritage
from the Lord. The fruit of the land a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed as the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame where he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
Very good. Now, there's a hold your Bible there. I'm going to use your Bible. Okay. And there's a verse here that Hayden just read. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. And let me tell you why that's important. Now, listen, moms, dads, grandmom, granddads. The psalmist just said that our children are like arrows. In a hand, a warrior uses his arrows. That's specific. Let me tell you, when a warrior needed arrows, when this psalm was written, where did the warrior get his arrows?
You didn't go to Walmart. Didn't go to the Bowden up in, there used to be in Tawnytown. Where did he get his arrows?
He made it.
Come here, buddy. Toby, he made his arrows. Now, I'm going to put a picture in your mind today that I never want you to forget. Here's a fact. That every one of these children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And every time someone influenced one of these young ones, it's like someone shaping that arrow. And think of all the influences that's shaping these arrows right here. Now listen, what's the test whether you have a good arrow or not? When you let it go. Now think about this, those of you who had a problem with letting it go. What do? You ever pulled a bow back with an arrow? And you keep holding it and holding it, and then sometimes you pull back further and further. What happens to the arrow? The arrow sometimes goes way off in the distance, even gets further from us, right? So there is things we need to think about as we shape, influence, and then one day our prayer is that our arrows, our children will become dependent on God as they become, right? Dependent on God, independent from us. And that takes skill. That's why we need to be like the warriors, because the war is real. You understand that? We have on this platform boys and what? Boys and girls. Is there any other gender on this platform? Do these kids need to understand what I'm talking about? Because as they go off, people are giving them another message in Carroll County, in Frederick County, in Montgomery County. This is a place where God designed us a specific way. So I am so thankful. Now, what we're going to do, Michael Mangieri, I'm looking for Michael Mangieri. Michael, come on up. Michael's an elder here. Chris Allnut, come on up. Steve, come on up. All the leadership, come on up. We're going to surround these families. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask everyone to stand up. You're going to stand with me. We are going to pray a prayer of dedication for these children. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story of why I'm asking Michael Mangieri to grab one of these mics. And matter of fact, you can take this mic. You can pray in this one. Michael Mangieri, let me tell you how God works. Michael and Joan have not had any biological children of their own, but God has blessed them with many children. And you're witnessing some of them here. But I will tell you a story about two guys in particular. Where are they at, Shelley?
Behind you.
They're behind me. Come here. These guys, you two step up here. So you see, these two guys are very, all of them are special, but these guys right here, years ago, we had a ministry here called Fun Day. And Earl and Mary, once a month, would have a fun day. Well, Shelley is over in, where were you at, Shelley? You were out town somewhere. You met Chris Rowe, an old neighbor, and said, hey, we have a fun day at the church. And Earl and Mary would just say, hey, drop off your kids, go have fun. And then they met Shelley. Shelley comes to church. Shelley ends up receiving Christ as her Savior. Shelley, I baptized Shelley. And these boys right here started coming to Fun Day. Next thing you know, they're coming to church. Next thing you know, Tony receives Christ as his Savior. But let me tell you this. The reason why Michael Mangieri is important is because they would come here when, and even during all the COVID and all the stuff when churches were losing people, Michael Mangieri showed up here every Wednesday night and discipled these two young guys for how long, Michael?
2 years.
For years.
At least, yeah.
It's been years. Every Wednesday night. These two boys right here. Last Sunday, this guy here, Vincent, just last Sunday when we stopped. And I said, I need to stop right now. I believe the Lord wants me to stop and pray. Vincent received Christ as his Savior. So I can tell you, I am so excited about the baptism. But what we want to do right now, we want to join us as a church dedicating to come alongside all these children, these moms and dads and grandparents. We're going to stand with you with what you're going through, and we're going to do all we can to help you in these crazy days we live in. So, Michael, you go ahead and you pray, start the prayer. And then, Chris, I'm going to hand you this. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, give Chris. Then you close us in prayer.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, you saw way back in the past, before a number of these children were even born, you knew what the plan was going to be for this church. You knew that this day would happen. This mother's special Mother's Day. And Lord, over the period of the years that I've had the opportunity to have conversations, because they really were conversations with Tony and Vincent, and even in the Wednesday evenings now, if you were in that room this past Wednesday, when Tony is asking questions about things about the Bible that most preachers and scholars wouldn't, one, know to ask or know how to answer, it was amazing. This guy is like, just wants to know everything. And Lord, in those early days, Vincent was, back when he was Vinny, he wasn't all that interested, but he listened. The words went in, most of them went right back out again, but some of them stuck. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity I've had to spend the time with those two. The rest of the children up here, I don't know all of them very well yet. They've all just recently come. There's opportunities for each and every one of us, not only for these, but for those in our community. As this group up here starts talking to their friends, and those words stick. And that's the way you want us to work. That's what Paul told us. That's what Timothy told us. You take my instruction and you continue it. And who's going to do the work? Not me. It's the young crowd that's going to grow up in the new world that's coming up, with all of its bumps, bruises, all of its craziness. But you know what? We've got good Christian people here. Every one of those arrows is going to be a straight and true arrow. So when it fires out of that warrior's bow, it's going to make a difference for the world, and it's going to make a difference that you want them to make. We're just thankful for it. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here for our pastor, for all those who have come out. These things I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just continue, Lord, just want to praise you, honor you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, bringing us here to this day, this time, Lord, to worship you together. And Lord, I do pray that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, that they would seek one of us out, Lord, that they would come to know you as their personal Savior, Lord. Because, Lord, an eternity without you is not a very good eternity. Lord, I just pray that you will help us as a church to be a witness, to be an example to each other and to the young ones growing up. And Lord, I pray that everyone here would look at one of these children and get a picture in their mind and pray for them, Lord, that they would grow up to know you, love you, to serve you. And Lord, that we would commit as a body of believers, Lord, to be faithful to you. And Lord, in reaching the world for Christ. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Trust in Jesus.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right, it's my joy. We're Tony. We're going to come down as we share Tony's story. And we went over this past week the meaning behind baptism. Wait a minute. Oh, I was going to ask you, stand up just for a second. I want everybody to see Tony. Your granddad's coming in right now. And I want to make sure granddad sees you. And here's the thing. When Tony, do you remember we use an acronym, OBEY, when we talk about baptism? Do you remember what the OBEY, the O stands for?
Obey.
Yep, obey, obedience. How about the B?
Believe.
Believe. Baptism always follows the belief, right? It comes after the belief because we believe that Jesus did what? He died and what?
Rose.
Was buried and rose again. It's a picture of that. And so the E is for evangelism, right? It's the good news, what Jesus did. And the Y, do you remember what the Y stands for?
Yield.
The yielding our life to Christ. Right? A yielding our life to Christ. So, Tony, can you sit down here? And have you received Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Okay. Can you go ahead and put your hands where I showed you? There you go. Now, Tony, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death, and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Tony. I thank You for the years of his faithfulness, his questions. Lord, he is so intelligent, and I'm excited to see what You are going to do in the life of this young man. I thank You so much for his mom, for her faithfulness, bringing her two boys to church week after week, years for years, Lord. And I thank You so much for Tony, for his faith, and again, for Your presence and Your power in his life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Now we have Brother Vincent. Come on, Vincent. Now, these two boys are different. You notice Tony had the robe. Vincent has the T-shirt, okay, and the swimming trunks. Now, I will tell you this. Vincent, he is, how long have we known each other? For a long time, right? And let me ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. He don't know what to say right now. Anyway, that way I want to make sure everybody gets a picture of you here. Now, go ahead. You can sit down, Vincent. Now, Vincent, have you received Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Yes, you have. So go ahead and put your hands where I showed you. There you go. Now, Vincent, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death, and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Job, I heard you longer. Okay. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I love these two young men. Lord, I've seen them grow physically, spiritually. And again, I thank You again for Vincent, for where You have brought him to this moment in this day. Lord, I thank You for family and friends being here to celebrate. But Lord, what we're celebrating is Your death, Your burial, and the resurrection, Your ascension, and the difference that You make in our lives. Thank You for allowing us to be adopted into Your family, to yield to You in all our ways, and to be a witness for You, Lord, in all that we do and say. And I pray, Lord, as we look down the road, use this young man to Your potential, Lord. And we will give You the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Vincent asked if I could hold him down a little longer than his brother. And I did. This song is actually a prayer. It's a prayer that I want you to pray with me, dedicating your home to the Lord, a Christian home. Christopher Sight. Chris, can you come on up here and close us in prayer today? And just hearing from Jack earlier, I thought it would be appropriate for Dad to go ahead and close us in prayer. Thanks, Chris.
Let's give thanks. Father God, blessed be your name. Great and mighty, full of glory for all eternity, and that you have condescended yourself to share that name with us and to call us your children. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to celebrate the great many children who are now part of this church and this congregation, to see youth and the vitality and vibrance of youth and families. It is such a blessing to be a part of a church that is alive and growing and doing all of the things that you ask of us, that you command us. And I pray that we take those commands very seriously, Lord. We're so thankful for the resolute preaching of your word. And I pray that as it was spoken today, it stays with us as we leave this building. Lord, I'm so thankful for the baptisms and the new members of our family today, that they can be called children of God, because of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Lord, above all things, we raise you up and we thank you for all that you are, all that you do in our lives. We thank you for the gifts of mothers on this special day. And above all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, the greatest gift that any one of us will ever receive, Lord God. And I pray with all my heart that if there is one of us in this building today that has not received you as their Lord and Savior, that you are dealing with that right now, and you will not stop dealing with it until they receive the free gift of grace that comes through knowing our Lord and Jesus, and they were guaranteed eternity with you and with all of us. What a gift that is. So we thank you and we praise you and we give the rest of this day to you, because you, above all, should be glorified and praised and worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.